This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
We actually have a school chaplain in the studio with us this morning. The school chaplain is Juliet Armstrong. Good morning to you, Juliet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we also have...
And we also have on the phone...
Yeah, Luke Beck.
And Luke Beck is an associate professor from Monash University who specialises in constitutional law. Good morning to you, Luke.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you on air. So, Juliet, tell us about your perception of the school chaplaincy program.
Well, my perspective is, I guess, obviously personal, but I personally work in three schools, two primary schools and a high school.
Can you say what they are, or should...
I'd rather not, just in case, you know, I tell any stories, just to protect the privacy of
my
students. But one is a Catholic school and one is a state school, and the other one is a state school, the high school. And I am not religious, so I'm able to do it from a secular perspective.
So what does a chaplain do?
Well, it's pastoral care, so I support students, teachers, parents in whatever capacity they need, really. Yesterday, for example, I spent an hour with a parent who was struggling with her child is being bullied a bit at school and it's really upsetting her, so we were working on strategies for her to put in place at home. Excuse me. I also spent some time doing a social skills class in a classroom with some grade twos. We were working on how to focus. Spent some time roaming around the playground, making sure everyone had someone to play with, and if they didn't, connecting them with them some options. And a few individual sessions with students. One little girl who's feeling bad because she's comparing herself to her twin sister who's doing better in reading, and another child who's struggling with a family separation.
So you're essentially providing a counselling and social support service.
Yeah, but it's not, like with a psychologist, you come in, you sit down for 50 minutes. It's a lot broader and more flexible, so I can jump in wherever there's a need to be filled.
I think a lot of us, Juliet, probably, and Luke, I certainly, when I thought of the chaplaincy program, I know that it was... in my generous thoughts, I thought it was non-denominational, but that it had a religious element to it. But that's not...
Well, this is the very strange thing about the program. It's called the School Chaplains Program, and obviously the word chaplain evokes sort of religious connotations in most people's mind. But the program itself is strictly non-religious. School chaplains are strictly prohibited from engaging in proselytizing or any sort of other religious work or activity. As Juliet has explained, it's pastoral care and welfare service provision. So there's nothing religious about the program itself in terms of the activities. But very, very curiously, in order to get a job as a chaplain, a person has to be endorsed or approved by a religious group. And so in most instances, what you see if you go online, Google school chaplain jobs, you will see in the selection criteria, one of the selection criteria is usually must be Christian. And that's in order to satisfy the must be endorsed or approved by a religious group rule. Now, you can get around that, as Juliet has, if you find a minister of religion who's happy to say, well, you know, Juliet is a very qualified student welfare worker. I'm prepared to endorse her, even though she's not religious at all. But in most cases, people who get jobs as school chaplains are religious, and that's in fact in the job ads that you see in the newspapers and on the online job ad website. So it's very, very strange that the federal government has set up this program that requires that religious groups endorse or approve people to be school chaplains in order to work usually in state schools, in public schools, in circumstances where they're strictly prohibited from doing anything religious. It doesn't make any sense as to why you need religious approval to do non-religious work in a public school.
Yep.
Julia, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, well, Luke's absolutely right. And, you know, kids that I speak with and work with, they don't really want to talk to me about religion anyway, and I don't want to... I mean, if anything, I work with a lot of Hindi students and a lot of students from, you know, different religions, and they teach me about their religions. I have no input or, you know, agenda there. And it is such a worthwhile position, and it can provide so much support that I think the religious component really, really holds people back from doing the work. Absolutely.
Luke, perhaps this is a question for you. Clearly there's a need for a pastoral, social, psychological support service for our children in school. Is this the best way to deliver that?
Well, so absolutely there is there's a very clear need to provide welfare and pastoral support services to students, but this is a very strange way of doing it. If we say, as clearly it's the case, that there's a need for pastoral care services for our kids, why would you set up a program that says that the only way that we can get people into schools to provide this really important service is if a very small number of religious groups give their approval or endorsement? Why wouldn't you open this up and use that $250 million each year that's spent on this to say that if you are qualified, that schools can hire anybody who is qualified without having to get permission from religious groups? You know, if this is a really important need. Kids need the support services in our schools, but we're saying that the only way that they can get these services is if religious groups give their say-so. And that's very, very strange. And the problem, there's that policy problem with it. It's a very strange way of providing a service. And there's a legal problem with that. In all the states and territories in Australia, we have laws that say that you can't discriminate against people on the ground of religion when hiring and firing for jobs. And
yes. Yes.
So when you see these job ads advertised for school chaplain jobs and it says must be Christian, that's in fact, we say, a breach of state anti-discrimination law.
Absolutely. So Luke, the other area that I thought I might explore with you, given that you have a constitutional law background, is where does this sit with this notion that our schools ought to be secular?
Well, this is the thing. It's very strange. And so officially on paper, it does kind of sit with that because the program itself, as I said, is non-religious. These school chaplains, despite their religious sounding job title, are not allowed to do anything religious. They're just providing pastoral care and welfare services like Juliet is. So on paper, it's fine, but you've got this weird hiring approvals process where you need to get the permission of religious groups to hire people to provide these student pastoral care services. So, you know, it does sort of blur the line about separation of church and state. And, of course, it's very strange because your typical public school has kids from all sorts of different religious backgrounds and kids from no religious background all happily learning and playing together in their school. And then we're saying that in order to get a job in this public school, you must be a Christian. That, you know, that makes as much sense as saying that the maths teacher must be Buddhist and the history teacher must be a Hindu. It's very odd. It doesn't make sense whatsoever. And what really is the point of that? What are we trying to achieve by saying that you need the permission of religious groups in a public school to hire a student welfare worker?
Can I ask, Juliet, in your experience, so you were approved by a minister, a religious minister, or a religious, let's say, official?
Right. Well, the company that I work for has a broad dispensation, you know, for me to get my job. I didn't have to speak to anyone.
Okay. In your understanding, is this how many... have been approved under that? I mean, your company, so there's a...
The company I work for, OnPsych, is the only company that I'm aware of that has...
That
this.
Has that...
Yeah.
And do you know of any individuals that outside, you know, where you work that have had that same approval? Or is it generally, as Luke says, that whilst they can't proselytise religion... that they are, a lot of these chaplains are actually from religious organisations, or
it's my understanding that they all are,
except
for people from my company. It's and that's what's really terrible about the situation.
Well, you've joined us in a minority.
Juliet's situation is quite odd. The standard situation is that that chaplains come from religious groups, and when they you see the job ads online that says you must be Christian. Mm. And so, yes, you are prohibited from proselytizing and doing other sorts of religious activities, but we see reports all the time that some chaplains do seem to break these rules and do engage in proselytizing. We saw only yesterday a complaint raised in Senate estimates about a religious school chaplain dealing with a young girl who was experiencing issues to do with anorexia. And the chaplain, apparently, according to what we heard in Senate estimates, told this young girl suffering a serious mental health issue that she was hungry for God, which is obviously outrageous and potentially quite harmful to this young girl who's got a very serious health issue. But it's also a breach of the rules about not being allowed to engage in proselytizing or religious activities. But there's no way of knowing the full scope and the full extent to which some school chaplains breach these rules, because none of the state education departments keep records of complaints about school chaplains. So we only know about these ad hoc complaints that get to the media or get to politicians. There's no sort of systemized complaints record keeping like there would be if you're raising complaints about teachers or other people in schools. It's all very, very strange.
Luke, we have run out of time, unfortunately, but we'd love to have you back on the show again to talk more about, you know, this program and where it might go and how it fits into the Australian context.
And also Juliet too. I think it's
absolutely
it's an issue that and congratulations that you work for an organisation that somehow slipped under the net in this.
I feel very fortunate because it's an incredible work. It really is. I feel
great.
Really lucky to be working with these young people.
Yeah. So, as I said, sorry, Luke and Juliet, we have run out of time. I want to thank you for it. We will get you back at a future time because I'd like to explore this in a bit more depth. Thank you, Juliet.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure.
And thank you, Luke.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.